it's Flo, and this is my impression of a politician. I believe in the people, and their cars, and Progressive, and the fact that you, yes, you can plug in Snapshot to save even more money for being a good driver. I also believe in Sasquatch, but more as a joke, but also kinda seriously.
Safe drivers save with Snapshot from Progressive.
I approve of this message, and Sasquatch, if you are real, you can totally be my running mate.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Snapshot not available in all states.
Hello. Welcome to Show Talk. Hello. With Angela Butler. Hi. I have Willie Trippett from Ready for the World. He's on the show today, which is great to have him back. It's been a few years. How are you, Willie?
I'm good, Angela. How are you?
I'm doing okay, doing okay. Had a little bout of sickness good. For a week or two, but other than that, I'm all right.
Me too.
So, now, I've said this before, but I grew up listening to you. I'm not that much younger than you. I'm probably right around the same age. But I grew up listening to your music, Oh Sheila, and the ballets, and just beautiful music. I mean, the ballets were my favorite. And I know you're the only one on the call today, but do you have any upcoming shows for Ready for the World?
Actually, yes, we do. But before I cover that, I want to definitely send a shout out to Prince and his family. Prince was definitely a legend. A musical genius, and we were definitely influenced by his music. So I definitely want to acknowledge him.
Yes, very much. I was going to get to that. That was a great question. That was some great. I was going to ask you, did you ever get to meet Prince? I mean,
no,
we didn't.
One of the Greg from the band. He plays the keyboard. He met Prince. He actually sat down with Prince and one night at a club, and you know they kicked it, you know, for a couple hours. But no, I never personally met Prince.
Okay, all right. So, but being who you are and everything, did you know? And it was also public knowledge about the record company and his name. What did you think about that and things that happened out there that came out of that for his career? Did it help? Do you believe it helped any other people who perform, you know, sing, rap? What happened to him in the record company change any attitudes or ways of doing things?
Right. I believe it was very courageous of him to take a stance as he did. And you know, he at one point stopped delivering records to the record company. He definitely changed his name in protest. And it was gutsy because for the most part, especially during that era, you know, you really need the record company to continue to promote you as an artist. So for him to, you know, pretty much take a stance like that, it was very courageous of him. And I believe, you know, he is one of the pioneers, along with Ray Charles, who also owned his masters from the beginning. Yeah, so, you know, the owning of the masters is very important. And, you know, the likes of Prince and even Beyonce, you know, the stance that she takes from time to time. And, you know, of course, it going beyond public opinion for the most part and just being an artist, the artist who she is, you know, it's very courageous of them.
So, you're known for Love You Down for Me, Oh Sheila, and many other songs. You weren't limited to these two songs. I mean, you have an extensive career. So, you're going to talk about where you would be performing at?
Sure. We have several dates scheduled, June 18th. In Louisville, Kentucky. We're doing Detroit at Shane Park July 6th. And we have several dates in August and September out west. we're doing the casino circuit. So we, for the most part, we plan our dates during the summer. Sometimes we do fall dates, but they're mainly in the summer.
Okay. All right. That's great. So are all the members still together? I mean, you said handsome man. You still are. I've seen updated photos now. You're very handsome man, very talented man.
well,
is the group
you.
Still
thank
together?
You.
I mean, well, have people passed?
No, we're still together as one unit. Depending on particular band members' availability, we may travel without a band member. Gordon Strozier from the band, he plays the guitar. Right now he's suffering from kidney disease. So he's pretty much on a on dialysis 12 hours in a day. So, you know, he'll do a show every blue moon at this point. But, you know, we're still one unit, we're still a band. And depending on his availability and then a couple of others, you know, you will see the original members for sure.
Okay. All right. I understand that dialysis, I've had people I love in my family who have been on dialysis before because of diabetes. I don't know if that's why he's on it. I know that's personal, but in my family it's because of diabetes. I understand that dialysis. And I'm a diabetic too, so.
Okay.
I've been a diabetic since 1998. One time I was in a diabetic coma. This is about you. So is it true? Now, I'm not a singer, but is it true that to have staying power as a singer or a group, you should be able to do other things such as write music also to have staying power within and keep money coming in, of course, you know, keep your career going? Should you be able to write music and do other things also besides sing?
Absolutely. I think you have to stay versatile in the music industry. And, you know, so not only just be able to sing, but, you know, yes, write, produce, arrange, and even get off into other aspects of the industry thing even. And so, you know, it's very hard to stay relevant in the music industry. And if you're not versatile, you'll get pushed to the sideline for the most part.
Okay. Get pushed to the sideline. So, you didn't tell me I could talk about, but you do consulting?
Yes. Of course, through our experiences, you know, and we've had plenty throughout our 30-year span, we've learned a lot. So, you know, I've started a consulting business in the industry, and, you know, it's basically to just steer young artists along, consult them to the extent that, you know, they don't get railroaded in this industry. And so if they'll listen, you know, then they can get steered in the right direction. I try not to act as a manager or an agent, but, you know, I can point an artist in the right direction and, you know, just make sure that their I's are dotted, T's are crossed, you know, they stay up on the contracts, you know, that sort of thing, so that years down the road, they're not, you know, looking at an empty pocket, you know what I mean?
Yes, I understand. I understand what you mean. Yeah, they can have staying power like you have. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
And you guide them. Yes, that's great. Have you wrote any songs or music, or has any member already for the world wrote music?
Well, you know, we're constantly writing music. We haven't published any music as of late, but as Prince. You know, it is said that Prince has over, I guess he, you know, his catalog can release an album, one album every year for the next 100 years. And so, you know, sometimes when you don't necessarily see an artist, that don't mean they're not working. I mean, he's a prime example of it. And so we also have songs in the coffers that, you know, it's unreleased material, but, you know, as artists, you just constantly write.
Okay. All right. So the music that you're writing, are we the fans, America, the world, ever going to get to hear these songs?
Well, what we do is, you know, some of the songs we pitch to different, maybe a soundtrack or just other aspects of the industry. So we make them available even to other artists, and it'll be up to them to choose a particular song or not. And so, you know, we're constantly doing that, and even in within the consulting arena, you know, we're pairing songs with artists. So, you know, it's a constant thing. And, you know, yes, you may hear a track at some point, but, you know, it's just constant. You have to just continue to write regardless.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. So sometimes I can be in a movie theater, looking at a DVD, a Blu-ray, and I can be listening to your music. So on soundtrack
correct.
For a film
correct.
And our show. Okay, our artist. Okay, so, all right. That's great. So what else are you doing? Are you a father now?
Well, yes.
Okay,
all right. I've been a father for a number of years, and of course
okay.
the experiences, I tell you, being, you know, when you're in your 20s, and I don't have to think back real far, but when you're in your 20s, you're kind of it's like you're a loose cannon. And so to now be a father, and you know, I'm dealing with that same age range, that 20 age range, and you know, they're trying to find themselves, and I'm trying to help them navigate through finding themselves. You know, it can be challenging, and I think, you know, any parent can relate. So it's an experience.
Yes. Well, I'm a grandmother. My child and her going into her late 20s. Well, years she's gonna pass. Her mid-20s, so I'm a grandmother too,
okay.
like I said. So, yeah, my daughter's graduating with her bachelor's degree, and she's my only child, but I'm a grandmother three times over.
Oh, wow.
I'm proud of my baby, though. She graduated with a bachelor's degree in business administration. I'd be a liar if I said I wasn't proud.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, you always won't. Your children have better than what you have and have an easier life, you know?
Exactly,
you
yes.
You have it better.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You're right.
Yeah.
And not take the hard road, you know, not take the rocky roads if they can at all help it. I mean, of course, you try to help them navigate through it, but, you know, you have to let them chart their own course as well.
Yeah, and I didn't agree with everything, but you know, she has a dad too, so, and a stepmother. So.
Right.
So your music, can you talk about any of the movies, anything that your songs have done, or is that confidential?
Well, back in when our songs were hot, you know, we were on several soundtracks, Beverly Hills Cop, two,
oh, wow.
I believe.
Man,
I think one
Mercy.
And two. Right. And there was a movie called Running Scared with Billy Hines and, Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines. So we did that one. And again, we're
you're
constantly
still making money
pitching.
Off those songs. Not
well, you
trying
know,
to be rude.
I tell you, well, publishing is definitely an area of the business that, you know, I would imagine most artists don't necessarily realize how lucrative it can be. We were type of artists, we were blessed to have wrote, produced, and pretty much did the arrangement on our songs. So, you know, our publishing side is, you know, I mean, we're still receiving checks from publishing because of that. And so, you know, that's why it's important, you know, to wear more than one hat as an artist. And if you have the capabilities to write, definitely do so.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a question. Now,
mm-hmm.
I have a show, I'm going to be honest with you, because of the internet. The internet has offered me some opportunities to have a little radio show that I wouldn't, our internet radio show that I wouldn't have been able to have if it wasn't for the cyberspace and all of that. But I have to wonder, even though I cannot sing a lick, with technology, is it, do you believe that the younger rappers and yourselves, do you feel like you're losing money because of things are like the internet station? Not say mine, but I'm trying, I can't call them by name, but that you're being cheated out of something that's too easy to get your music?
Well, in some respect, that may be, however, you know, to be totally honest with you, you know, artists really doesn't make any money off record sales or the sales of their records, the units. They don't make a lot of money, should I say. So it's not necessarily the artist that may be losing. It may be more so the record company losing out on that end. Right. And what they've done to mitigate that, if you will, is, you know, when they cut a deal with an artist, they pretty much get us a piece of the whole pie and not just record sales. So, you know, they may have some of the merch. They may have a piece of the publishing. They even may have some aspects of the performance. So when you go out and do a show, you know, the record company would get a piece of that. Now, you know, they have a vested interest, so, you know, I get it. I get why they would want a piece of everything, but the main reason behind it is because of the way the internet and technology has just totally changed the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe it's changed the game to benefit the artists more so.
You believe it benefits? Okay, all right.
And I say that because the artist can now be more independent. The artist can use the internet, social media, to promote themselves, even sell tickets online to the shows. I mean, every aspect of being an artist, you can play out online.
All right.
So you don't necessarily
I
need a record company.
Okay. Just, but copyrights and things, you have to make sure you own your own copyright.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The business end, you definitely have to cover. And, you know, I tell you, when I first got in the industry, someone told me this is 90% business, 10% show. And it has played out just like that. So, you know, it's very important to make sure, you know, from the aspect of copyrights, contracts, you know, ownership, that, you know, you are covered as an artist.
Okay. All right, that makes plenty of sense, a whole lot of sense, which I knew, but I was just saying, you know, that about the internet. So it's true then, the artists make a lot of their money off other things, because I'm looking at Beyonce and Fantasia and all these other great, beautiful young women and great, great talent. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I was told that they're making their money off concerts and movies. And I didn't get that. So, but you set me straight on that. You set me straight. You gave me another point of view to look at. So, this is 2016. Now, as you know, it's been in the news, and as far as I'm concerned, it's always went on. What is your point of view about the police the killing, and them walking out the courtroom like they are.
Okay, well, I'm going to step.
I'm going to step
outside of my membership in Ready for the World. And yes, as a father, my point of view on just overall the police and their interaction with the black community. First and foremost, I believe that we should police ourselves, and it's for that reason alone. When you police yourself in terms of, you know, having people from the community police the community, they're going to have more of a compassion for the people in that community, and they're going to be less apt to act or react, you know, on just the little minor things, especially if someone is in the park, a little boy in the park, and they just pull up on him and shoot him within 2-3 seconds, you know, that's just horrific, and they wouldn't do themselves that way. So, yes, I'm very, when it comes to the police and the way they treat the black community, I'm appalled. I'm appalled. And I even, of course, when I'm out, I protect myself, you know, in terms of making sure, number one, that I'm, you know, I'm always covered in terms of doing the right thing, first and foremost. But still, you have to be vigilant as a black man first, and then as a black person.
Yes,
because you're
a black person,
you know, you're a target,
too.
Unfortunately.
Black women too. Yes.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yes, because with some of the laws, the way they are for policemen, if they feel they're threatened, or they feel like their lives in danger, they have a right to shoot to kill.
Right, you know, and I'll tell you,
too.
I get.
They can shoot me.
Right, and you know, in the police's defense, I get that they put their lives on the line every day. I get that, and I understand that you have people in the world that mean you no good. So I get all of that. Still say, you know, that is why we have to police ourselves. Because, you know, when it comes to their life and our life, they're going to always choose their life.
Yes, sir. I understand that. And I have policemen in my own family. Not exactly policemen anymore. They're deceased. But I have family and work in law enforcement and things like that. And they don't kill people. I mean, you know, that I'm just
right.
saying.
Right.
My family is originally from Alabama.
I guess, you know, they've bought into that it's a cultural conditioning, Dove, and that's been drilled into them maybe since childhood. And as they turn on the news and they, you know, this image is personified on TV, on the internet, you know, it's a concentrated effort to make us look like criminals. And so when that's all you see, and then you go out in the world as a police officer, knowing you have to protect your life, and, of course, you're sworn to protect the public, you see it. I mean, they see us as criminals. It's an unfortunate thing, but, you know, I believe that it can turn around.
Racism.
I believe it starts. Right. It's racism. It's definitely racism. You know, I believe it can be turned around, but it's going to take us to do it. We cannot depend on them to do it.
Okay.
And that means we need to turn out the vote, number one, first and foremost, and make sure we put in there right-minded people, especially at the prosecutor level.
Yes, I agree. The prosecutor, yes, at all levels, for you can vote. Where I live at.
Exactly.
I guess just like this everywhere. Excuse me for coughing. I told you I've been ill. That's why the show might not be as long, but I really wanted to do this interview, you know. So, but where I live, and I'm not going to say where I live. where, no, I really want to do this interview where I live, because I'm still a big fan. Where I live at, I guess it's like this everywhere. You can tell them country. You can't vote certain people in and out of office, right? It's like that everywhere, right?
Right.
Like, let's say a chief of police, you can't vote them in and out, right?
Right.
That's everywhere. Okay, I didn't know that. I was just making certain that this wasn't the only place like that. okay. I was just making certain. See, I've traveled, but I haven't been a resident, actual resident of anywhere, but basically here, where I live at in Florida. Going to be in Florida at any time?
We don't have any confirmed dates for Florida just yet. But, you know, we've done Jacksonville as of recent, maybe a couple years back. And I'm pretty sure, you know, Florida's on the radar.
Okay, I won't take it. I won't take it. All right, I like a couple of tickets.
Absolutely,
absolutely. If you decide to visit Florida before, you won't, well, you'll be visiting, which you'll be working too. So I'm really kind of wished everybody could have been on the phone, because it's been really great, you know, been on the show, but. You know, I understand people, you're busy men. You're busy men, you have careers. And one thing that bothers me about the elections for the presidential run, and like I said, I'm in the South, and there was things I learned just by doing the show about New York and places that I did not know. But here, it's kind of like there's a, in the South period, the entire South period, there are some people who they'll let make it, and then there's a ceiling for everybody else. You get what I'm saying? That's black.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be racist. I'm not a racist, but I'm just saying that's the way it is. If it wasn't for the Internet, I wouldn't have this show, and I wouldn't be talking to you, because that's just the way things are. Some people can make it, some can't. And most people say, well, that's because you didn't try hard, you weren't intelligent enough, you didn't apply yourself. Well, that's not true. That's simply not true. You know, it's just the South.
You're absolutely right. If I may interject, you're absolutely right. For us to deny and ignore the racism that goes on at every level of living here in America as black people, then, you know, we're fooling ourselves. So, you know, we definitely have to take that into account. Now, of course, you know, we can, in fact, we've overcome so much.
Yes.
And, you know, we just have to continue to, you know, I believe we need to move as a people, you know, as one
a
unit. As opposed to
one unit.
Always, right, moving so individual and, you know, separated. If we can move collectively and not only vote collectively, but demand of our politicians collectively, things can change.
Yes, we have to move as a group, as a unit, sort of like. I understand what you're saying, that we have to be united. My great aunt would say united. You have to be united.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love you. I still love you down. I was listening to it yesterday. I didn't get a chance to listen today because I was having a relative in the yard a little bit and running my mouth. But it was my mom, that relative. When you called, I was my mother. I really enjoy Ready for the World music still. I'm telling my age, but I really do. And I hope you will come out with some more music. I know you've got other things going on as a group. It would be nice just to hear a single. I still call them singles, you know. So.
Thank you. We're individually we're doing a lot,
okay,
so we just need to come together collectively and and go ahead and put it down. I think we definitely have enough material, and so it's all about piecing it all together and putting it out. But I definitely appreciate your support. I appreciate the support of those who have you know, supported our music throughout the years. It's awesome to see people turn out to our shows and really get into the music. I'm sorry, did I lose you?
Hello? Hello? Anyway, there was no jail, and that was the biggest thing to me, that there was no jail where Ms. Hurston lived at. And now that's all you see are jails. Hello? Oh, I guess I lost him. Looks like I did. Hello? Okay. All right, everyone, looks like I lost Mr. Willie Trippett. I didn't mean to. Looks like he's not on the phone anymore, and I apologize for that. But I'm going to talk about this lady anyway. Her name was Flora Neal Hurston. And what amazed me the most about her is that she... There was no jail where she lived. Not everywhere you look, there are prisons. They're building prisons instead of schools, and I think it's horrible. But where I have lived, there's always been prisons, and I hope I did not offend anyone, especially Ready for the World, Willie Trippett, because somehow I lost him on the phone. But Ready for the World is a group that I grew up listening to, and they're a great group, great group. I still listen to their music sometimes. And I agree with what he said. People are need to unite, but don't overlook Ready for the World as artists, as performers, writers, because they gave a lot to the world. The Quiet Storm era was a great time. Great time. Beautiful lyrics. Beautiful songs. Beautiful voices. For those of you who haven't taken the time, go back and listen to Love You Down. Great song, great song. So, everyone, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I am, of course, once again, Angela Butler. Thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I look forward to another show. So, everyone, have a good – oh, one thing. Please go out and purchase a copy of Charles and Melinda, which is a book I wrote, and also Celebrity Short Inspirational Celebrity Short Stories by Angela D. Butler, Angela Butler. Everyone, have a good night.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Yesterday, Cliff Sora shared a top 10 list of hot fusion restaurants, a vegan gluten-free mashup recipe, and a podcast featuring organic food trends. Oh, TMI, too much internet information. That's oversharing. Cliff, Geico has something worth sharing with your friends. Like how on geico.com you could save hundreds on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim. Gluten-free info that's easy to swallow. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.